48 past the hour, you're listening to Connecting Faith. I always love the opportunity to connect with Lisa Marone. She has a Monday morning health tip available online. You can sign up for it and get yours every Monday, lisamarone.com. Lisa's a physical therapist, professor, author, and speaker, encouraging people to get healthy, for heaven's sake, titled one of her great books. She's written on lots of things like back and neck pain and headaches and overeating, and diabetes and sleeping well and all those things. We're going to reflect on a couple of those today. Lisa, good to have you back with us.
Neil, it's great to be with you, and I absolutely love that song that you segued into this portion with. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and that mind.
We need
and
that.
All of your strength.
Yes, and we want to, I know that you talk about, you know, getting healthy for heaven's sake, because God has given us our bodies so that we can use them for his service. We're talking about our bodies as they age today. You want to talk about the Alzheimer's-oxygen connection, and have to ask, well, what is the connection?
Yeah, you know, we have been looking for a long time, scientists have been looking at the connection between how much oxygen we take into our bodies, particularly at night, and how that relates to our risk of Alzheimer's disease. And what they have found is that as we're sleeping, if we take in less than adequate oxygen, so we might breathe in and have what's called hypopnea, like underbreathing episodes, or apnea, which means complete cessation of breathing. So you're either breathing too little or you're not breathing at all. So you're having these times where you're just stopped providing oxygen for your brain. What they've found is that as a result, we start to get in our brain tissue, all of our nerve endings and our little neurons, which are our brain cells, we get these tangles in them called tau protein tangles. And then we also get these plaques that are called amyloid beta plaques. So we're just going to, for short, call them tangles and plaques. And just like you don't want tangles and pieces of things stuck in your hair, you certainly don't want them stuck in your brain cells.
Indeed, and I appreciate that there's a way that we can maybe eliminate that. I'm interested, though, you mentioned like sleep apnea. Does brain disease kind of promote that? Or if a person's having trouble sleeping, are they more likely to develop? Is it one more than the other?
Well, you know, there's a study that has come out recently, and they were looking at 500 or so normal cognitively functioning adults, and they were between the ages of 71 and 78. They watched them and did studies of their brain over a three-year period of time. And they found that of that, in that group of 500, those that they earmarked as having obstructive sleep apnea, which is either this problem of not breathing in enough or not breathing at all during periods of sleep, that they had more of these plaques. What the study was very careful to say was they weren't sure, Neil, whether it was the brain that was creating the sleep apnea or that the having the sleep apnea was creating these plaques and tangles in the brain. So they couldn't make that connection from the study that they had made. But, Neil, we have definitely seen in so many areas, especially heart disease, high blood pressure, that when you have obstructive sleep apnea, we're just increasing our whole body's disease processes and we're just speeding them up.
So, we maybe understand a little bit more about sleep apnea, know that there are machines or devices to help with that. Is that the only solution, or is there something that maybe, I guess, how do we determine if we have that first, I guess, and then what do we do?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Neil, because a lot of people don't know whether or not they have sleep apnea. But some of the signs of having sleep apnea is that, first of all, you snore a lot. Now, snoring is not equated with sleep apnea, but a lot of people who have sleep apnea snore. They might snort. They might choke in their sleep. They might wake up abruptly in their sleep. And then when you get up in the morning, having slept through the night, what you would call a good night's sleep, if you're just tired all day long, dragging all day long, what is wrong with me? I can't stay awake. Those are oftentimes signs of having sleep apnea. And if you're very overweight and you snore, the likelihood is even stronger that you have sleep apnea. And so it's really important that you don't just decide whether or not you have it on your own. You have to go to a sleep specialist. And a sleep specialist is likely going to send you for a sleep study. And people hate the thought of that, and so that keeps them away. But I always tell people, listen, would you rather die 10 years early? Because that's statistically what happens with moderate to severe obstructive sleep apnea if it's unresolved. And so if you really like your life and you'd love to live it longer and you'd like to live it well, then it is important to go into a center and have a sleep study done that you actually stay in the center overnight to have done.
That when you put it that way, it sounds so convincing, Lisa, that yes, I think I am trying
to convince people because, you know, God has given us a life to live for Him, to serve Him, and that last trimester of our lives can be so rich. We have time, we have wisdom, we have knowledge, and we have resources. And so it's such a shame if we let our bodies or our minds decline in that last trimester when we have so much to give.
Well, I know we've talked before, too, about the reality that lack of sleep is a huge problem in our bodies and our culture, too, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, when it comes to obstructive sleep apnea, there are things that we can do, but even before going to the doctor or in conjunction with. We can absolutely set ourselves up to start losing weight because you can actually reduce or eliminate sleep apnea with weight loss. So that's a really important thing. You know, when we gain weight, we don't just gain it in our bellies and push up on our diaphragm, but we also gain it in our necks, and so we close up the airways when we're breathing. The other thing, Neil, that we can do is we can make sure that we're not having maybe that glass of wine before we go to bed at night to relax, or taking some sedatives or tranquilizers, because those are going to relax the muscles that are in the back of the throat, and that's going to obstruct the airway as well. And so losing weight and just making sure that you're not taking sedative types of things at night, those would help. And if you are a smoker, oh, goodness, there are so many reasons why you should stop smoking, but here's one of them, and it's that smoking is really going to increase your odds of having obstructive sleep apnea. So those are three things that we can do right off the bat to help us get healthier sleep.
We always want to connect with you about getting healthy because, as you said, God's given us a body that He wants us to serve Him as effectively as we can. And just because we're in that third trimester of life doesn't mean that we have to not be effective. Lisa, I know our time is slipping away here. I just want to talk a little bit about we're entering into our fall fundraiser tomorrow, and you've had an opportunity to be part of Faith Radio here on the broadcast with us for many months, and before that, off and on. So I know you have appreciation for the impact of radio.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so blessed that this radio station has allowed me to share what God has placed on my heart and just placed in my mind the information to how to get healthy for heaven's sake, how to honor our King by using the temple He's given us and bring Him worship and glory through that. And I have so many of your listeners who have emailed me and just reached out, and lives are being touched, and I hope that we're motivating people to really get healthy for heaven's sake.
Well, and we need healthy friends giving healthily for us to meet our financial needs, and so we're looking forward to hearing from many Lisa Marone fans, and I know you have opportunity to interact with them from time to time, either via email or when you go out speaking around the country.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful thing. And you know what? The better we are, the longer we can work, the clearer our mind is, the sharper we are, we'll earn more money. It's all good. We can support the things of God.
I like it. Lisa, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for coming on today and for reminding us. And I know that this is an area that you have personal concern with, because I know you visit a 93-year-old friend who's dealing with Alzheimer's, and you know, many of us know someone close to us that are dealing with dementia or Alzheimer's, and so if we can help
them,
we want to make a difference. So.
Absolutely. Thank you for enabling me to do that today, Neil.
Lisa Marone joining us today, physical therapist, author, speaker. She's written several books, including Get Healthy for Heaven's Sake, as she provides the Monday morning health tip every week via email. And you can sign up for it or find out more about her resources and the helpful writing she's got at lisamarone.com. That's the website, lisamarone.com.